Hello, my name is Andrea Carice, and thanks for tuning into my podcast, Rising Tide, Grey Tsunami, Charting the History of a Dangerous Metaphor. I'm grateful to the Canadian Geriatric Society for giving me this opportunity to talk to you about the language we use to describe population aging, a topic of growing concern both to older people and those in the business of caring for them. First, let me introduce myself by saying that my interest in geriatrics is twofold. Currently, I'm a PhD candidate in English literature at the University of Toronto, where I'm finishing a dissertation on the representation of older age in 19th century British literature. Also, since 2005, I've worked as a research associate in geriatric services at Parkwood Hospital in London, Ontario. Over the next 15 minutes, I want to combine these disciplinary perspectives by discussing how the language used to talk about older persons might be said to impact quality of care in the broadest sense, that is, through everyday speech. To do this, I'm going to focus on one particular expression used today with reference to the elderly, the gray tsunami, a phrase that many listeners in North America and Europe will likely have already encountered. If you're not familiar with this phrase, the gray tsunami has emerged over the past decade or so as a kind of shorthand that refers to the socioeconomic threat posed by population aging, and a quick Google search will bring up more than 100 million hits. My goal in this podcast is to demonstrate how this popular expression is actually burdened with a very specific conceptual history, a history that makes the gray tsunami, as my title suggests, a dangerous metaphor. Dangerous because the gray tsunami is an expression steeped in strongly ageist assumptions, and dangerous too because it is a perfect example of how figurative language can masquerade as self-evident fact, not only in everyday speech, but in professional medical registers as well. In this podcast, I'm first going to talk about the veiled meanings at work in the gray tsunami metaphor by looking closely at examples from three influential Canadian opinion makers: the Globe and Mail newspaper, the Canadian Institutes for Health Research, and the Alzheimer's Society. Then I'm going to suggest that the gray tsunami metaphor has historical roots that date back to the mid-19th century, when Western medical advances first made possible the reality of an aging population, a reality that effectively planted the seeds of the profound anxieties around population that we're witnessing today. Now, before we begin, some listeners may be wondering, why would this be of interest to geriatricians, or even health professionals more generally? I want to make it very clear that my discussion of the gray tsunami is not just a matter of semantics, or a call for what's known as politically correct language. My goal, instead, is to give you a better sense of how the gray tsunami metaphor undermines not only the dignity of older people, but also how it has the potential to undermine broader social perceptions of the value of geriatrics and the care of the elderly as disciplines, the work that many of you listening engage in every day. So what is a metaphor? Put simply, a metaphor is a figure of speech that draws or implies a comparison between two dissimilar things. For example, life is a journey. When we say this, it's because we imagine there's something about the nature of a journey that carries over into our understanding of life, and vice versa. In fact, the Greek root of the word metaphor means to carry, or to transfer. And this ability to transfer meaning is exactly why metaphors are so useful, because they help us understand and experience one kind of thing in terms of another. What's important to understand is that metaphor is not limited to poetry. In fact, as linguists like Mark Johnson and George Lakoff have shown, everyday speech is full of metaphor. So what are the terms that are being compared when we talk about a gray tsunami? The first term, gray, obviously a reference to agedness, probably via hair color. The second term, tsunami, most of us will recognize this Japanese word as referring to a large ocean wave, often one that causes extreme destruction. And this is, of course, a term that's especially resonant following the Asian tsunami of 2005 and last year's disaster in Japan. By bringing these ideas together, the gray tsunami metaphor effectively draws a correspondence between aging baby boomers and a catastrophic natural disaster. Let's stop at this point. Is the progressive aging of society somehow equivalent to the instantaneous destruction of cities, food, and water supplies? And what is at stake for the elderly and for the people that care for them, when such an equivalence is nevertheless drawn? To begin answering these questions, let's turn to our examples. And by the way, if you're interested in following along, the texts I'm referring to are available on the slides I've posted along with the audio. First up is a recent editorial from the Globe and Mail, which is Canada's largest circulation newspaper, in which the grey tsunami is employed in the context of supporting old age security reform. The editorial reads, and I'm quoting here, "Our biggest social problem is not how to redistribute more money to the needy old. It's how to protect everyone else from the tsunami of geezers that's about to crash on our shores and suck the wealth of future generations out to sea." Let me start by pointing out what I can only call an ageist taunt, the tsunami of geezers. A tsunami, readers are told, that is about to crash on our shores. Notice how this text works to employ watery imagery, first by employing the destructive effects of the tsunami, followed, I take it, by a kind of colossal undertow that will suck wealth out to sea. Notice, too, how this startling language ties the elderly to an image of massive destruction, not only of physical infrastructure, but of social and economic collapse as well. Most disturbingly, the grey tsunami metaphor is used to draw a dividing line between those agents of destruction and loss, old people, and the rest of us, the non-old, who apparently stand to lose a great deal. And if we look closely at this passage, this rhetorical strategy of division is apparent at the level of pronouns, our biggest problem, our shores, all of which demand protection. In effect, the grey tsunami metaphor works because it segregates society into two opposing groups, the needy old on the one hand and everyone else on the other. Two camps, readers are informed, that are destined for war. If we step back and consider these elements altogether, we can detect a larger rhetorical pattern, a strategy that relies on exaggeration, the sucking, crashing tsunami. A strategy that also relies on escalation, layering financial loss, social ruin, and generational warfare. And put bluntly, the grey tsunami metaphor traffics in the politics of panic. And I'd argue that it does so successfully that all other outcomes or possible narratives concerning population aging are effectively pushed aside. We might even say they are drowned. But perhaps this is just some irresponsible journalism. Let's turn to our second example, the most recent president's message issued by the Canadian Institutes of Health Research, or the CIHR. We're told that the grey tsunami presents one of the greatest health challenges faced by Canadians, and that the grey tsunami carries with it, quote, a tide of chronic diseases rising from an aging population, end quote. Again, notice the destructive fluidity associated with population aging, a tide rising, swamping. And again, older persons are distanced from the non-old social majority by emphasizing our healthcare system, our economy, our quality of life. Context is also important here because this is a document expressly intended to communicate the CIHR's mandate to the Canadian public, the CIHR being the major federal agency responsible for funding healthcare research in Canada. Just as we saw in the previous example, the language used by the CIHR to describe population aging isn't neutral. The grey tsunami metaphor is loaded with deeply disconcerting implications for older persons. So why use this metaphor to talk about population aging? In both examples we've looked at, the grey tsunami exemplifies what social scientists like Stephen Katz have called alarmist or apocalyptic demography. And this describes the perceived danger of certain populations, generally because of their supposed size. In fact, the apocalyptic framing of population aging has taken off to the extent that studies have begun to track how often prominent opinion makers present aging populations exclusively as a financial burden, rather than, for example, as a testament to medical and scientific advances. What expressions like the grey tsunami seem to indicate is that the language of ageism has been updated to reflect early 21st century anxieties around population aging. If we step out of our own historical moment, however, we learn that the grey tsunami is not the first example of a certain population being portrayed specifically in terms of a massive, destructive fluidity. History gives us two precedents. First, in the late 19th century, Asian immigrants to North America were often referred to in the popular press as the Yellow Peril or the Yellow Flood, a pejorative label that you can certainly hear recalling the metaphorical logic of the gray tsunami. If we take an even longer historical view, one that extends across multiple cultural traditions, the female body has long been associated with images of the uncontrollable flood. Anthropologist David Gilmore has argued that the aesthetics of fluidity has served across many, if not most, cultures in order to link femininity with ideas of chaos, disorder, and feeling, a kind of embodied fluidity that is opposed to the traditionally masculine, patriarchal values of order, reason, and control. In light of these precedents, I find it fascinating and in equal parts disturbing that the very same watery imagery used to generate powerful images of racism and sexism in the past has been translated in our own time to portray older people. So plausibly, as we've already seen in the examples from the Globe and Mail and the CIHR, so plausibly that the gray tsunami metaphor gets wielded as if it were fact. With this history in mind, let's turn to our third and final example, the Alzheimer's Society of Canada's recent commissioned report on dementia, entitled The Rising Tide. It should be clear by now how The Rising Tide also portrays the impact of dementia on Canadian society, using images of enormity, drowning, and submersion. But we might stop to consider just how the metaphor of the rising tide differs in tone from the gray tsunami. As a kind of branding image, the rising tide seems to me less emotionally charged, not to mention more realistic, in its reflection of the gradual increase in dementia rates over the next few decades. That said, I'm not entirely won over by the language. While I have no doubts as to the good intentions of the report, its central metaphor nevertheless remains a problematic way of soliciting public interest and attention to the impact of dementia. In fact, the language of rising tides has been employed in the past to describe a host of diseases deemed threatening to social stability. In the 19th century, it was tuberculosis. Later that century, syphilis. In the late 20th century, it was HIV and AIDS, all diseases that were described in terms of rising tides. I think what this highlights is the bigger problem of soliciting awareness in the context of a culture constantly inundated with information, the culture of the 24-hour news cycle. While apocalyptic language like the gray tsunami and, to a lesser extent, rising tides, certainly grabs the public's attention, it only does so by imagining older age as a kind of dreadful disease. The fact is, we've never been all that well served by this kind of apocalyptic thinking. And it seems to me this is the perfect opportunity for a concerted partnership between the humanities, medicine, and health policy, an active collaboration that might help ensure that the language we use reflects the nuances of aging, the nuance that makes geriatrics and the care of the elderly such compelling and rewarding professions. The Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard once said that concepts, like individuals, have their histories and are just as incapable of withstanding the ravages of time as are individuals. So as we near the end of this podcast, I want to leave you with the message that the language of aging is not neutral, that it is, in fact, burdened with concepts that are often specific to certain historical moments, moments that come and go, and along with them, ways of thinking. So what if, instead of a gray tsunami, we were to talk of a gray bloom or an elder swell? What about an elder surge? Each of these alternatives, of course, brings along a new set of problematics. But I mention them to suggest how different words can invoke very different meanings and images. Images that may well help us build a different, more realistic story around population aging. As we've seen today, in addition to undermining the dignity of older persons, the gray tsunami metaphor has the potential to endanger the validity of caring for the elderly. Because if the elderly are like a dangerous tsunami, then why would we work to prolong or improve the quality of life of such a dangerous and threatening population? To short-circuit and, I hope, prevent this kind of logic from taking stronger hold, we must work to improve our awareness of how rhetoric serves to frame public discussion around aging. One way we might start is by better understanding how the imaginative language we use can legitimize prejudice against older persons.